You were speaking about iman, and iman is testifying all that which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had brought with firm trust in him. This trusting and putting our confidence in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he is true, he is honest. We believe in all that which he has brought. That's called iman. Not just because our mind says so, not that because it is logical. It may be logical also, but we believe because we believe the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is true. Like we believe in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all the Anbiya, and we believe in all the Kitabs, right? So there is two dimensions to this belief. One is believing in the Anbiya and the Kitabs, and one is to believe that they are receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's called iman bil ghaib. Because iman bil ghaib is that which we cannot perceive with our brains and our minds. We don't see the wahi. Do we see the wahi? We don't see it. Can't perceive it. But we know and we are certain that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had received wahi as well as all the Anbiya. The same with all the divine heavenly books. We believe that they are heavenly books, though we haven't seen them coming from the heaven, right? Because we believe in the ghaib. What we mean by believing in the ghaib, in other words, that which our eyes, our minds cannot perceive, we believe that these words came from Allah Ta'ala. The inspiration of these words came from Allah Ta'ala to the respective Nabi. And this kitab is a heavenly kitab. That's called iman. Then you get one as the surat of the iman. Surat of the iman is to testify verbally and to believe. Tasdeeq bil lisan and iqrar bil qalb. That's the surat of the iman, that we testify with our hearts and with our tongues. More so with the heart and by the tongue, so that لِإِجْرَاءِ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا, so that the commands or the laws of the world can be applicable to you. Now, if you don't testify, right, you don't show that you are mu'min, you don't testify, then how can they apply the laws of Islam upon you in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country? In a non-Muslim country, for example, like we are living, then how can they do your janazah? Can they do your janazah? They can't do your janazah. They can't accept you in marriage because you haven't testified. So if there's a verbal testifying, then they can apply the laws of the dunya upon you. So this will apply both in a Muslim country and a non-Muslim country. You can say within yourself that you are a Muslim, but did you testify the kalima? You testify, you have to do it and show it that I do say the kalima, and therefore the umur of the dunya must be applied upon the laws pertaining to a Muslim must apply upon you. So this is now the surat of the iman. Now the surat of the iman also is very great, because the najat and the salvation of the hereafter is just on the surat of the iman, testifying from the tongue and from the heart. That's the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that he didn't ask us to get the haqiqat of the iman. Because the haqiqat of the iman requires some effort. Then you get that haqiqat. But just that surat of the iman, heart and the tongue, is testifying So Allah Ta'ala grants you salvation. Allah Ta'ala grants you Jannat just because of that. Saves you from Jahannam. So the surat also is so great. But then, one is the surat and one is the, call it the perfection, right? Call it the completion, or call it the perfection, right? So, the completion also is great, and we should ask for it. That's why the hadith says, "Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad wa yaqinan laysa ba'dahu kufr." Right? That give me that iman that I don't retrogress afterwards. Give me that iman that there's no apostasy after that. There's no disbelief after that. So the iman must be at such a level that after I have acquired that iman, then there is no turning back afterwards, no looking backwards afterwards. So I make it a habit that in my wuzu I say these du'as. Allahumma inni saluka imanan la yartad. There are different wordings of the hadith, but one wording is Allahumma inni saluka imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad wa murafaqata nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can add fi ala darajat al-kul, but this is the approximate wording of the hadith. Imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad, right? And wa murafaqata nabiyyina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? So you're asking for the blessing that never ends, that is Jannat, right? What is the blessing that never ends? The Jannat, the special tawajjuh of Allah Ta'ala, right, that never ends. So you're asking for his special attention. You're asking for the iman, and you're asking for the blessing that never ends, a special, special favor of Allah Ta'ala, right? His special tawajjuh. Don't we go to some buzurgan and say, we want your tawajjuh, we want your du'as. So you want the special attention of Allah Ta'ala. And wa murafaqata nabiyyina, and the height of our glory is that if we can be with Nabi Sassam in Jannat, right? That's the height. Can you think of anything beyond that? That's the biggest, the highest. So there are different wordings for this, but this is one simple, one easy hadith. Right? So this is now iman. I showed you the surat of iman, and I showed you the haqiqat of iman. And like the surat of the iman, is matlub, is desirable, you must get that. Then you must get the haqiqat of the iman as well. Like the Quran Sharif says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu." So it's addressing the believers to get the perfect iman. Iman and the perfect iman. So that when you got that perfect iman, then you're not looking backwards. Then there's no apostasy after that. Right? And that is that hadith of Najashi, where Najashi Hiraqal had asked Abu Sufyan, do you find any person turning back after accepting? After accepting Islam, then do you find anybody, any one of his followers turning back? Then he says no. So Hiraqal says, كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا خَالَتَتْ بَشَاشَتَهُ الْقَلْبِ. Okay, this is the property of iman. It's a, the property of the fire is what? To burn, right? Property of water is to cool, right? Don't say that's a property, it's a nature. So this is the very nature of iman. But when the sweetness of the iman penetrates into the heart, bashashat is happiness, joy, right? So, like you say, bashashtu. Bashashtu, I got happy, excited. So when that excitement gets into the crevice or the recess of the heart, when it goes to the recess of the heart, then there is no such a thing like turning back. So the fear of turning back is until it doesn't touch the recess of the heart. But when it touches the recess of the heart, then there is no turning back. كَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا خَالَتَتْ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقَلْبِ. It gets right into the heart. It's like maturity, right? A person becomes mature. Do you ever hear he became immature after that? He was mature now, so he got married. After he got married, after 2 years, he became immature now. Do you ever hear that? You were 16. Did you ever hear that the person became 12 after that? Then you're progressing afterwards. Then you can't go backwards. So the same now with iman, right? Or you see a fruit that is ripened, right? After it's ripened, you see it becoming green again. So when it's ripened, then it's going this way. It's not going backwards afterwards. So that iman, when it touches that kamal, amanu, aminu, ayna iman, haqiqata iman, kamala iman. So this again, it's in different places of the Quran Sharif. Like for example, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. One is ittaqullah, speaking to the mu'minin, right? So bring about the kamal, bring about the kamal of iman, and sit in the company of the kamilin. Explanation to this verse, right? Maybe not be the exact translation, but the explanation. Oh, believers, get the kamal of iman. And in order to get that, you sit amongst the kamilin. In other words, without sitting in the company of the kamilin, you don't get the kamal of iman. So the kamal of the iman is enjoyed by sitting in the company of the kamilin. After all, sahaba-i-kiram became sahaba-i-kiram not because of a lengthy research and a tahqeeq that they made. Do you see any sahabi, Abu Zar Ghifari, made a big tahqeeq on Rafayadeen? Juz'u Rafayadeen. Do you see that? You didn't see that. So, but they, you know that they were the kamilin. So this kamal came into them on account of what? Because of the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See? They sat in that company, and that company brought that kamal into them. So you understand now that that kamal comes on account of the company. But then the company, what does it mean? What do you mean by company? Then the company has got two things. Right? In the words of nearly all our sayings from Madam Mawthani Sahib Rahmatullahi, right? Some from Idris Kandalvi Sahib and some from him, right? But you know the source, so your mind's at ease. Right? So, now, what do you mean by company? See, come, they give it an unwan of i'tikaf, right? But more or less it's a khanqa. So we feel embarrassed to say khanqa. Why feel embarrassed? Because that was the work of very, very great awliya-i-kiram. And we don't fit in their shoes. So we rather just say we're saying i'tikaf. But really what it's aimed at is it's aimed at the goals of al-khanqa. Right? It's aimed at the goals of al-khanqa. Right? What is supposed to be acquired in the khanqa, you are trying to get it here. But because we don't fit in their shoes, we're not at their levels, we feel that word is too much for us, too big for us, khanqa. As a nukta, someone says, what is the meaning of khanqa? As a nukta now. Because it comes from the kha, nun, qaf, right? Wal mun khaniqatu. Right? Khanaqa, what does it mean? To throttle, right? To choke. To choke. So, you must choke yourself, what? Then, yeah, choke the nafs. Choke, throttle the nafs. The nafs only comes right if you put it into difficulty. Right? This naughty nafs, right? Ammaratum bisu. It only comes right if you choke that thing. Now, if you leave it free, if you leave it loose, then that's too naughty. It's too naughty a boy, right? It'll do make you do things after you in your old age. You feel so embarrassed. Hey, I did this, and I did this. And what I did, you know, you feel so embarrassed and so disgraced of yourself. You don't even think about it. I could do such a thing. I could stoop so low. So the nafs is so naughty when it's left on its own. But now, what is the meaning of association? You're talking of associate. What do you mean by that? So Mullah gave two things. See these nafs now, you have to get into control. I said previously, the road to Allah Ta'ala is just two steps. One on the nafs, and you're entering into Jannat. Right? But now to get the nafs under control, what do you need to do? So Mullah says two things. One is, you don't go against his teachings. His teachings, his works, don't go against it. Whatever he's teaching you, instructing you, you don't go against it. Otherwise, it's pointless. Now you're coming, doing your own thing, and then you see you are associating. So, you know, his teachings and his instruction, whatever he's giving, what he's telling you, you just go with it. It's difficult or not difficult. People want to know, it's too difficult, this one. This one I'll do later on. So this mindset that, no, it's too difficult, really that mindset is wrong. That in itself is a sin. Because when you came to this world, you say you want Islam, and you want Allah Ta'ala, you'll have to go through some things that are against your nafs. And that is called difficult. Nafs is saying, hey, look at that one, man. So sweet she's looking. Right? The nafs is saying that. Isn't the nafs saying that? Now to turn your eyes away from that, isn't it difficult? To turn your eyes away is difficult. Nafs is saying, hey, you know what? I can get a bank facility for 10 million rand, you know. I can eat so much. But iman is saying, no, that is interest. That's usually, it's called a facility, they give it a good name. Platinum card owner, huh? Platinum, above gold. Huh? So you got a status. Status for what? For eating suraj. Really, literally. Status for eating suraj. Walima, say someone's coming out, and kali, he'll say, son, hey, just go get my glasses from there. But he'll pull out his platinum card. To show now, you know, I got a status here. I'm not an ordinary mota, yeah? I'm a platinum card owner, you see. So at any given time, you're not going against his teachings. His teachings, what he taught you, what he initiated you, what he spoke to you about, you don't go against that. Otherwise now he's telling you one thing and you're doing one other thing, and you say, no, I'm sitting with him. So it's a betraying. You betrayed the person. Right? That's why I say, you know, make this dua, this Ramadan, that we don't be such that on the day of Qiyamah, then we have betrayed Nabi Sassan. We're an embarrassment for him. He's told something and we're doing our own thing. And Nabi Sassan did one thing and he showed one thing and we did the other thing. And haven't we betrayed him? We showed ourselves like Muslims, but did we behave like Muslims? We showed like ourselves, like we are Iman, Ahla Iman. Then we didn't behave like that. But didn't we betray Nabi Sassan? Aren't we traitors then? To Nabi Sassan, to Islam. Aren't we like that? We said, no, we're Muslims. We love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we did something else. Because, why we are traitors? Because, when you said you were a Muslim, and you dressed up as a Muslim, right? So they expected you to do everything according to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything that you'll do, I will be like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because of the name that you carry, because of the apparel that you wear, because the way you carry yourself, they feel that everything you will do will be in conformity. But then you didn't do in conformity, haven't you betrayed him? Haven't you sold him out? Gujarati say, Vechiyawa. Apunaya, Vechiyawa, he sold us away. So what a bad thing it is. That you held the name, you dress up like him, you talk like him, but then you sold Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam away. Sold him away. What an evil thing it is. So that's the first thing, that we don't sell him away. We don't betray. We don't betray him. We don't become traitors. That's the first thing. Azaji Rahmatullahi, he gave this advice in Johannesburg airport, you know. Last parting advice. He leaves you with some thought-provoking things. Few words, but thought-provoking. So he says, who brings the honor to the sheikh? Who brings the honor to the sheikh? He said, obviously, the murid. The murid is doing this, he's doing this, he's doing this. So he brings the honor to the sheikh, isn't it? Right. At the jalsa, if your son is reading, and say, hey, wait, she was reading. So doesn't it bring you honor? The son is reading or something, giving a bayan. in my sonhood. In my sonhood. Don't you feel honored? So your children bring you the honor. If they're doing something good, that's why you say, Qurrata Ayun, make them the calmness of my eyes. But they bring you the honor. So if they're following the right steps, then they bring you the honor, right? But who brings you the disrepute and the disgrace? It's your children again. It's the murids again. They bring you the honor or they bring you the disgrace. The murid now is taking mandrakes, as I said. Huh? Or he's your son and he's flirting with women. Do you feel disgrace or not? Don't you feel disgraced? Hey, my son is doing this. Again, I caught him again with this thing here. So don't you feel embarrassed? Don't you feel disgraced? Don't you feel that he sold you out? What I didn't do for the son here and what he's doing today to me? Don't you feel miserable? Or, for example, he failed, right? How do you feel? Don't you feel miserable? What have I done for this child here? For me to deserve this type of a reward, right? Don't you feel that? So this honor comes from the children, or through the children, or the murids, and the disgrace also comes through them. Comes through them, honor comes, and through them comes the disgrace as well. So now, each time we are doing something, we think to ourselves, the day of Qiyamah, and what will be the position? Are we going to be bringing any honor to the peace of Islam? Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he had given Khilafah to Mawla Khayl Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sahanpuri, so he says, Ye to mere logo ka fakhr hai. He is the pride of my people. He is the pride of my people. You know, his ways, his behavior, his style, he is the pride of my khulafa. See, so at least we can bring that, you know, after our parents have aged, after they've come of age, right? They don't want much from us. But be a source of comfort to their eyes. That's what they want. Be a source of my comfort. They don't want wealth from you. I don't want much from you. But be a source of my comfort. Right? That you do such things, you engage in such things, that you are a comfort. Whether the father is, or the parents are dead or alive, right? Like the hadith says, Shokul Watan, as more times called that hadith, right? That your actions are presented before your parents. Once in a week or twice in a week, I can't remember the hadith wording, but definitely once in a week, then your actions are shown to your parents. And when your deeds are good, then it brightens their faces. There's a spark, there was a smirk on the face. Don't you feel nice? Father saw you and he just brightened. So, after, whilst they are alive, and even more when they are gone, then they hear about you, their faces are just brightening. And this is enjoying him as my son. So the honor that you bring to them, the respect that you bring to them, whilst they are alive, and whilst you are not alive. So the respect that you bring to the Visarasan, so you are doing his way, his teaching, right? So this is the first thing that is required in association. We're talking of association, what association requires. Right? We're talking of iman. Huh? Right? And then I said the kamal of the iman, perfection of the iman. Right? The second thing that it requires, this perfection of the iman, is to go on notifying and then emulating. Notifying what's happening, what's going on. Telling what's happening with yourself. In your amal, whatever he's teaching you, whatever he has been instructing you in, right? The thing that he's been instructing you in, then you would keep on notifying him. All right, this is what happened. You told me to do this, not to look at girls. Hey, but you know, I slipped up in the shop. That secretary is too sweet, man, you know. I just liked her voice, man. Now, then he'll shout you, he'll correct you. So you must be prepared to tell him all these things. Tell him all these things here. Don't say, no, hey, you know, I read my tahajjud and my Quran Sharif, I didn't read you all the time. So you're showing only the plus, only the good of yourself, and your weaknesses you're not showing. Show him the whole, give him a whole report, full report. The doctor don't want to see only the good in you. You know, my health is so good, I go to a gymming twice a week, I carry weights and all that. No, but, so why you came to me? If you're healthy, you don't come, you shouldn't have come to me. You'll come to the doctor, you've got a problem. You don't come and boast to me about your achievements. Yes, you got the weaknesses also. Yeah, my what a weakness. What's your weakness? I've got a weakness for money, you know. I just like the good things in this world. I just run after it. I saw he got it, so I need to get it also. Right? So I've got a weakness within me. So now you show him the weaknesses and show him what's in you. So now you have completed the duty of association. One is you don't go against his teaching. Whatever he tells you, don't go against that. Number two is then you notify him what's going on all the time, notify him. See. So what happens in this, what I make out of it is that when you have connected yourself with that buzurg or sheikh, whatever it was, then as though there was a wiring done, you see. It's a wiring done. There was a connection. Now, for this connection to remain steady, for you to be sustained, then this is the prerequisite. See, you want that power to come to you all the time, and you don't want an interruption. If there's an interruption in the power, right, what happens? There's no light here. Allah Akbar, Fubra, what happens? Yeah? Especially at Sehri time. Yeah? Or Iftar time, Sehri time, and there's no power, what happens? Isn't it the whole chaos here, right? At home also, and more over in Ramadan, it's not working, that is not working. How do you go on from here? So, without this physical lights, this total darkness, then you can you imagine the extent of the spiritual darkness when there's an interruption? You brought that interruption, so can you imagine the level of spiritual darkness you have earned? Now you're in total darkness. But now, you don't even realize that you are in darkness. You're in darkness, but you don't realize that you are in darkness. So, these are the requisites of that association. And if you aren't doing this, then that means you, فَمَا أَدَّيْتَ حَقَّ صُحْبَتِكَ. You haven't fulfilled the rights. You haven't fulfilled the right. You need to fulfill that right. You've got that right. Now there's no interruption. There's a flow. Good things are coming up, all the time. And you see the flow is coming strong and stronger, you know. Before it was just mild, now it's coming up. Wherever you are, you feel that flow coming in. So now we spoke about Iman, right? Then the thing that is against Iman, we're just talking about Iman and Kufr, right? Basic things, is disbelief. Now Kufr, what it is? To say kufr only refers to rejecting. No, it's not right. Not the right translation. It's adamut tasdik. What? Adamut tasdik. Not to testify. One is to reject. So, he neither rejected nor did he testify. He did not testify nor he rejected. So, this is one level of kufr. Well, this is the translation of kufr. What? لا يؤمنون بالله. See, لا يؤمنون. He didn't say يكفرون بالله. What he said? لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون. لا يؤمنون. فويل للمشركين الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة. لا يؤمنون بالله. So not to believe. That's kufr. What's kufr? Not to believe. So when he's not believing, then he is not testifying, nor is he rejecting. Like you get now this new group now, this intelligent, right? So in them you get a group that's called, they call themselves agnostic, right? What they call themselves? Agnostic. So agnostic is also a level of kufr. One type of kufr. Because he's not in Iman, and he's not in kufr as well. See, I'm still researching, I'm still finding out. So he, up till now he's not in Iman. And nor is he accepting kufr. So he's not in kufr, he's not in iman. So he's an agnostic. But agnostic is also a kafir. So if he dies, then he doesn't deserve a Muslim funeral. See that? La ilaha illallah al-mushrikeen. Allah Pak says, La yu'minuna billah. You don't believe in Allah yet. And belief in Allah Ta'ala means to believe in Him as you're supposed to be believing in Him. Ma'a sifatihi wa dhatihi. Dhatihi wa sima sifatihi. Not just how you want to believe, but how you are supposed, how you are required to believe in Him. So you believe in Him with all His attributes and His being. That He is unique both in His being and in His attributes. He's absolutely unique. So that's one type of kufr. The other type of kufr is to reject. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا To reject. See that? He's rejecting. Right. The third type of kufr is إِعْرَاز. Right. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ مُعْرِدُونَ Right? وَهُمْ مُعْرِدُونَ إِعْرَاز, the simple English translation I can think of is not concerned. What? هُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ مُكَافِرٌ مُعْرِدُونَ They are not concerned. I'll carry on. I'm not concerned. See that? So he's not concerned about Allah Ta'ala. He's not concerned about the Akhirat. So that's called i'raz. That's a third type of disbelief. Not concerned, not interested. Doesn't concern him. Right? So you have to speak about these things nowadays. Why? Because kufr is at its height now. Kufr is at its height. See, the kufr also, it comes, it goes up, comes to its height, and then it will crash. But now it's at its height, see. That anywhere you go, in any part of the world you go, you see the influences of kufr. Don't you see the influence of kufr wherever you go? Maybe they don't say become a kafir, but don't you see the influences of kufr anywhere you go? Do you see it or don't you see it? You'll see it in a Muslim country, in a non-Muslim country, influences of kufr. Sometimes you see it in alcohol, etc., how freely it's available everywhere. Right? In the styles, the clothing. Don't you see that? In the way they socialize. So the influences of kufr are everywhere. Now, within all that, to remain as a pure Muslim, like you're the odd one out. You like that? Very odd one out. Everybody, like, it's normal to wear tights and jeans. It's normal to be behaving in that way, in the wrong way, right? Now, if you are behaving right, not wearing all that, you are very modest, woman is staying at the house, you also very careful. So you're like, you're the odd one out. See? But now, in being this odd one out, there's such a great, great basharat. There's such a great basharat from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى Now you held on, you know, held on. See, one person, Buzurg was walking by, and the olden days now, you know, olden time, 500 years ago. So, there's a king that's on the fifth floor, you see. So, the king is on the fifth floor, and he says that Buzur, he calls that Buzur from the fifth floor, that I just want to talk to you. Come to me. So that Buzur is asking, how must I come to you? You know, because I have to come to you, you are a palace, there will be so much of red tape, and which door must enter through, and whatever, whatever. But you know, it's going to be such a big, long procedure. How am I going to come to you? So in the olden days, they used to use pulleys, you know. So you hold yourself onto the pulley, maybe it's like how you have a lift, you know, something to stand on, you hold on to that, and then they'll pull you up from the reel you up until you come up to the top. So you have to hold on to that, because now it's a chain or something, you have to hold on to or hold yourself onto that. You let go, then you fall. Right? You have to hold yourself onto that, and if you hold onto that, you're coming up safely. And in a few minutes, 1-2 minutes, you're in the fifth floor already, they reel you up. So, the Buzurg sat on that, he stood on that pulley, and they pulled him up. Right? So as he comes to the king asks him, you know, Tell me the easiest way to reach Allah Ta'ala. Easiest way to reach Allah Ta'ala. He says, just as I reached you, you know, I reached you, what did I have to do? I had to go to that pulley and to hold on to it. So I have to go up to Iman and the Ahl Iman and then to hold on to the requisites of Iman. Say, for example, I went, but I didn't hold on, then I would have fallen. Another thing is coming up, it's going to be going like this. Won't it be going wobbling like this, right? As it is moving on, it's going to be wobbling. If I don't hold on, what will happen? Then as it wobbles, I'll fall off. So I'll have to go on to the Iman and the Ahl Iman and then hold on to the requirements of Iman. وَأَتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. See? Not only not to be divided, one is to be divided. So be united, but also hold on to that rope. See? Be united, but not just united, but hold on to that rope as well of Iman. Then will you come up safely. Now, you know, I just came with the people of Iman, this sohbat and all that. Sohbat, but hold on. Hold on, this is what I showed, what I explained, what it requires, two things. That you follow the teachings properly. And number two, you notify. Notify and practice. Notify and practice. Don't do your own thing after that. Allah pak tawfiq naseeb kare.